Welcome to the Azure Podcast, a series of short discussions on various topics related to the Microsoft Cloud Platform. Your hosts, Kendall Roden, Cynthia Krang, Kale Teeter, Evan Vasilik, Russell Young, and Sajid DeMello discuss a specific topic on each show to give you a high-level overview of that topic and resources to get more information should you wish to dig further. For more information on our show, please visit our website at azpodcast.com.
Welcome back to the Azure Podcast. This is episode number 295, being recorded on the 4th of September, 2019, with special guest Geeta Lakshmi. I'm Sajid, and on Teams with me, I have, of course, Evan, Russell, Kale, and our special guest, Geeta. And before we get to her in just a minute, on a topic that we haven't covered in a while, but glad to get back into that particular service of Azure, let's cover some of the updates that have happened recently. And Kale, I know you're on it. Can you give us an update on how TruffleCon went? I know you talked about it a few times. How did that go?
No, it was a great conference, and we had a big turnout. I think there was over 500 people there. We had different vendors, different partners who were building on top of this ecosystem. We had a bunch of different sessions going on at once. We took over building 33, the conference hall over there, and basically had many sessions going on at once. So it was quite a good showing. There was a hackathon, so everything turned out really well. We think things went super well, and the Truffle guys were super good bringing out some new product. We showed off some of the stuff we're working with them on integration into VS Code and the developer ecosystem, and they also showed off some new product and talked a little bit about some of the future stuff that they're working on as well. So overall, it was a great conference. Great.
Awesome.
Glad to have it at Microsoft.
Great. It's a nice update. Thank you. Meant to ask you last week, but you weren't there, but glad you could give us the update. So some updates in the Azure space that happened this past week. One of the ones that caught my eye was we've got some new cloud regions available in Switzerland. We do have customers over there that have that data sovereignty requirement to keep the information local. And so we've got a bunch of customers out there like USB, the Swiss reinsurance groups, Swisscom, et cetera, that can now offer services in that area because we have these new regions available there. So that's just continuing expansion of Azure. Another feature that's been added in the Azure Data Factory is I know Evan would have loved to cover this. He's traveling, so he's in listen mode. But this one's for you, Evan. So Azure Data Factory, you can now add a data flow that adds a SQL script to your sync transformation. So when you are transforming something, the destination could be a script instead of just some repository. So you could do some processing before you actually update the data. And so that's a new feature out there. And then Azure Monitor, the application insights, there's the amount of time that you save your information in Azure Monitor has always been, it's been kind of more or less fixed, but now you can have like more a variable retention rate, and that retention rate can happen from 30 days to 730 days. So that's that allows for compliance reasons. I know there's a lot of customers that need to keep information for a certain number of days or months or years sometimes, just to make sure they have that information to go back to, and so that variable retention rate is now available.
That's quite a big limit change, isn't it? I'm assuming there's additional cost in there as well.
Absolutely, yep. There's billing. Right now, it's I think it's just a little bit in preview, but once the billing does start in around approximately November, it'll follow the same pricing that is used for the current Azure Monitor log data retention.
Okay, I see that's all built into the calculator already, I see. Yeah, great.
Yep. And there was one more update, like not this is just an amazing website. I'll put a link to this in the show notes. But Cosmos DB, right? It's one of the services that we all love. Sometimes there's quite a few areas and views into Cosmos DB as to what it's used for, how it works. It does require some change of mentality if you're coming from a SQL world. And what the product team has done is they've created these very, colorful whiteboard diagrams, you know, on explaining how each of the features work. And they've posted all these charts and diagrams. And so it's almost like, you know, reading a comic book in some way. But it's just a really easy way to understand all the various pieces of Cosmos DB. And, you know, there's almost, I don't know, keep going to the bottom of this list. I think there's almost 78 of them. So, yeah, this will keep you busy for a while if you go through them. But it does cover almost every area of Cosmos DB. And so we'll put a link to that in the show notes. Cale, I think you had to drop something in there.
Yeah, I just had two things. One was this talk about this Vision AI developer kit that Microsoft and Qualcomm have been working on. So I thought it was really interesting, and it kind of goes into one of the conversations we were having around the intelligent edge and the IoT edge. And they essentially have this this AI developer kit you can now order from Arrow Electronics, which includes a device, and then it's using a lot of the services we talked about in the past, such as like cognitive services and the Vision API that we have as part of our AI suite. But it was the interesting thing about it was that even with the cognitive services, there's a lot of support for like low or no code development, which basically means you can kind of set this up without writing a ton of actual code. Most of the stuff is kind of done for you, and there's just this little kind of user-friendly interface that'll walk you through all that stuff. There's also a VS Code extension for working on this stuff, so it takes advantage of all the services that we have and kind of able to show you how to use and start developing these more advanced workflows inside VS Code. I thought that was really cool. The other one was the Azure cost management updates. You know, in the past, I know this is a big thing that our customers in the field always looking for was, you know, how to be able to tell where they're spending their money in Azure. And so there's been a lot of different advancement there over the years, everything from, you know, third-party vendors that we had plugged into that ecosystem. But there's also this, there's some cost management updates here that kind of walks through some of the latest stuff that they have in there, which is, you know, even doing things like forecasting and filters, kind of walks through all your subscriptions, gives you a really nice cost analysis. And of course, the most important thing is that there's a dark theme. For some reason, everything has to have a dark theme today. But yeah.
That's nice. Yeah. Yeah. If I remember, we bought a company called Cloudin, correct?
Yeah.
Is that, and that became cost management eventually. So it looks like that's fully integrated now, which is good.
Yeah. Looks like more features continuing to add there. So super awesome.
Excellent. Great. Well, that's a good round of updates. Thanks, Cale. So maybe this is a good time to turn the mic over to our special guest. Geeta, thank you so much for joining us. She is, why don't you go and explain, she's with our product team in India, and I'd like her to maybe introduce herself, tell us what you do in Azure, what your passion is in the space, and what are you working on these days? Go ahead.
Hey, hi, Sajid. Many thanks for this wonderful opportunity. This is Geeta Lakshmi, Program Manager from Azure Backup Team. I have been with Azure Backup Team for about 2.5 years now. I build features for Azure Backup in the areas of IIS, VM, Restores. I also own resiliency and availability pillars of Azure Backup and take Azure Backup to the new regions of Azure with privacy compliance, especially GDPR. As we were talking about Swiss, yeah, we also from Azure Backup deployed our servers in Swiss. So I'm equally happy to be part of this wonderful achievement of Azure. And I'm also excited to be part of this podcast to share much weighted items expected by our customers from Azure Backup, primarily focusing on Azure VM Restores.
That's awesome. So, you know, it's been a while since we've had, I think who it was, I forget the other PM that we had on before, Sonia, I think, right? So it's been a while since we had on the show talk about Azure Backup. So maybe if you could just take a couple of minutes to explain to our listeners, what Azure Backup is. What are the kind of overall use cases that it covers? What is the way our users should think about Azure Backup? And I know they should think about it all the time, but go ahead and give us a high level overview on that.
Yes, Azure Backup is basically a native backup solution delivered as SaaS. It is very simple, cost-effective, and a secure solution to protect not only on-premises workloads, but also cloud workloads such as Azure VMs, SQL, Azure Files, and SAP HANA. Well, we started our cloud journey with Azure VMs and recently announced GA of SQL Backup. We also have plans to add many cloud workloads in future. Azure Backup provides both data plane and a management plane to manage the backup estate through a single pane of glass. And we are looking forward to have a delighted customers at Azure level.
Now, when we talk to Azure about Azure Backup to our customers, do they think about this from a disaster recovery perspective or from a day-to-day business perspective? Like, what's the kind of frequency or the urgency of using Azure Backup for business? Should it be something for day-to-day business?
Yeah, I would say primarily it's a day-to-day for any business critical data. Customers looking for the backup story. So primarily all the Azure VMs or any workloads in Azure has its own backup story. So that's how customers view it. It has become the primary necessity. It's not like an optional service. It has become a fundamental service. And hence, if you look at the Azure VMs itself, the backup is available for them to configure at ease in a single step.
Got it.
Yeah, I had a question along those lines. It kind of goes along that same line. But so we have a thing called site recovery, and then we have Azure Backup. It seems to me in my mind that maybe Azure Backup is more like something like if I needed to do maybe file level or something more granular. Is that true? Or how do I think about site recovery used in parallel with maybe Azure Backup?
So backup and site recovery, right? So backups are like, whenever there is a deletion or the corruption of the data and the customer wants to roll back to the state, I would call it as a good state of the machine, they look at it backup. Whereas with respect to site recovery, it's about bringing up the entire applications in the right state during the disaster. It is primarily doing a disaster, bringing up the entire set of workloads applications in a previous state. So that's it's more of backup is a primary necessity. It's a last word of defense for our customers.
Awesome. Thank you.
And yes, that's really good distinction there. Thanks, Geeta. How does this, so you mentioned on-prem as well. When we talk of Azure Backup, we always think, oh, it's protecting all my Azure resources. How does the on-prem integration work? Like, is there some sort of agent that has to be deployed on all your machines if I have a huge on-prem environment? How does that work?
Right. So what we do is we give a provision to backup the on-premises data in Azure. So so we wanted to bring all the data to the Azure because, that customers will look it as an offset copy. Any on-premises customer look the offset copy as a cloud, right? And there's a rule or a protocol for every backup solution, which is a 3-2-1 rule. We say it's three copies of data in two different regions, one being the offsite. So when a customer configure an on-premises data and start putting an agent and start backing up the data, he not only backs it up to the tape or a disk in the on-premises, but also sends the data to the Azure. That's more promising and interesting for them.
I see. So the agent, we provide them an agent, or does it just work with whatever?
Yeah, we have a Marge agent, which will push the data to the Azure.
Got it. That's great. Nice. All right, so that's a good kind of update on what Azure Backup is. I'm curious, though, what have you been working on? I know you said you've been working on some enhancements recently and some new features. What are some of the focus areas for your team as it relates to Azure Backup now?
Right. We had a recently announced the support for large disk backups in Restore, which is now in preview. This support disk capacity of up to 30 TB. And in case of a VM, we have up to 16 disks, which is planned. And we are planning to increase this to 32 disks in next couple of months. However, if you take any Azure VM, it has an upper limit of 256 TB capacity. So if you're looking at the enterprise customers, they are using this large disk exhaustively. So it becomes very essential for them to have the backup solution. Hence, we have gone with this particular release.
I'm just wondering, have you ever done any metrics as to how long it takes to restore like a 256 terabyte disk?
Interesting. Yes, currently it is in, as I told you, it's in preview. And, you know, we have something called as instant RP feature. I would tie that to the instant RP feature. This creates the recovery points in both snapshot phase and the vault phase, right? And interestingly, if the restores are happening from the snapshot phase, it just happens in minutes and not, it doesn't take hours. So however, we'll have to, you know, we are in the process of, before the GA, we will have the exhaustive testing of all 256 TB before announcing the GA of the large disk. And what we have currently done is, we have supported up to 4 TB of disk in the snap while introducing this instant RP. And for the 4 TB, we have found that the restores are happening in few minutes if it's recovered from the snapshot phase. That's quite interesting. And customers have given a huge welcome for this particular instant RP feature.
You said instant RRP. Is that how you said it?
What is that? It's RP is a recovery point.
Okay.
It's an acronym of, it's an acronym of recovery point in Azure Back.
You also used the word vault before, right? So is that where all the stuff, like the customer's backup point, so to speak, or backup location, is that how you think about it?
Right. We have recovery services vault. We call it an RS vault or a recovery services vault, which primarily is used as a backup entity in Azure. And this is where it's a one-stop place where we configure all the workloads to be backed up. It's also a billing entity for the customer.
Great. So it sounds like you're focusing a lot on this performance of getting the restores done quickly. What about things like security? Like, you know, I'm sure customers find that important, right, when it comes to their backups. What is being done in that area?
Security and backup generally goes hand in hand. So customers who want to secure their VMs also apparently want to backup them. So this is not only an interesting problem, but also quite challenging to enable customer backup their data securely. So there are two features which we have added recently in this context of security from Azure Backup. The first one is that the disk encryption team earlier had disk encryption with Azure AD, which involved customer creating the service principles, setting up AD, which involved multiple steps. Hence, to do backup and restore of these VMs, Azure Backup also had several steps involved. But in the recent past, disk encryption team has simplified the process of setting up this AD effort. They have gone for Azure and disk encryption without Azure AD. This does not need a customer to create service principles and provision them, which makes the process quite simple but still secure. In this correspondence, this particular improvement of ADE, Azure Backup started backing up and restoring such simplified ADE VMs to create a secure backup story for Azure customers. So our promise is not only secure backups, but also secure, simplified backups. This is the first feature. And the second feature which I want to talk around the security is soft delete. As one of our fundamentals, we always focus on securing the backup data. So soft delete feature, which we have released, will retain the data for 14 additional days after deletion of the data. Could be even data deleted because of oops delete, or even purposefully the admins have deleted the data. However the data has been deleted, we ensure to retain them for next 14 additional days. So we understand this is insurance, and hence this comes at absolutely no cost to the customer. And the main motto of releasing this particular feature is we want our customers to not lose data at any cost. So this is available now for Azure VMs, and we will be rolling out to all other workloads which is supported by Azure Backup in the coming months. These are the two things which we have done around security.
Geeta, sorry, when you talk about soft delete there, are you talking about delete of the VM and the associated VHDs, or delete of the backup that you've created from the VM?
So it is about the backups. So in case we have deleted the backups, and we are storing the backups for next 14 additional days without charging the customers.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
So the backups, as I spoke, are always there in our recovery services vault. And if in case of anything, you can restore them from the recovery services point.
Great.
That's a good clarification. That's some good stuff on the security. What else have you, what are the other updates or features that you've been doing to allow better restores of these backups?
I would like to bring in two important things which we have done in the recent past. So when I talk about the restores, right? So restore is very important, and because restore restores the business. It's not just a VM or any workload. It's just restoring the entire business of a person. So in this context, right, we have various flavors of restores. One is we clone the Azure VMs from the recovery point, which has been backed up. And we also ensure to provide the disk along with the templates for later point of the time for customers to create a VM later, right? And in this context, what we have done is Azure VMs are generally tagged by our customers for grouping purposes, which are majorly used during billing or even to classify the departments in their organizations. For example, like they might be tagging the VM as environment is equal to the production or non-production, sometimes critical, non-critical machines, non-prod machines, all those things. So these machines are backed up with Azure Backup. And while restore, customers expect those tags as well to be restored. In this context, what we have done is we have added the new capability to restore these tags along with the VM. It's the one thing which we have introduced recent past. And the other thing which we have done is Azure regions now have availability zones. So customers are making Azure VMs zonally aware, which are called as zonal pinned VMs. All the applications related to this to the VMs which are pinned in the zone are configured, and the customers expect these VMs to be backed up and to be restored in the same zone because they have the relevant applications they're running. So we have added the capability of restoring the zonally pinned VMs in the same zone as per the zonal details available in our recovery point. But that is not all. What we are working is, we're also working on enabling the customer-triggered restores to any zone in the same region in the coming months. This feature will also help customers to restore the VM to any other zone in the same region during even zonal outages. So we were talking about this disaster at regional zonal, right? This particular feature which we are coming up with will cover the zonal outage scenarios of the customers.
Now, when you talk about new features, and these are some substantial features that you're adding here, so these are just automatic, or like some of the tagging, restores and all, is that just done by default, or the customer has to say, I want to restore my tags, I want to restore to the original zones from where they came from, things like that?
So it was a customer driven, it was coming from customers as well in a user voice and in a forums. And it was also, you know, like from getting aligned to the Azure Compute, right, CRP provisioning also, when all these things are getting added up in the CRP, it becomes necessary for Azure Backup to, restore with all these parameters.
Okay, my question was, you know, is it by default it does this, or does the customer have to say, you know, have a setting to say,
it's done by default. So when a customer configures the machine for the backup, we ensure that we are going to backup with the tags, with the zonal details. And while restoring, we do restore with the tags and restore to the same zone where they have pinned the VMs.
Got it. Thank you. And then I know you kind of mentioned something about policies as well. Is there something you want to elaborate on that area as well?
Yes. There are large organizations which have very strict policies. So they follow the strict naming conventions. And while they are doing the backup, they also wanted Azure Backup to adhere to their policies. So one of the top requests is to honor the naming standards or the conventions used by these enterprise customers. So earlier we were very much functional, but now we are also honoring the policies defined by the customers around the naming conventions of the disk. Let's say while creating a disk, they name the disk in some convention according to the company policies. So we are honoring them, and while restore, we are restoring according to the naming conventions provided by the customers. That's one of the thing which is around the policies.
Great. Good set of updates here. Is there any other things that you would like to mention to us, Geeta?
Yeah, yes. So I was talking to you about restoring by two ways, which is one is cloning the VMs, another one is restoring the disk. That is not all. Up until last year, we were doing this, but early this year, we have introduced replacing of the disk in the VMs. So what we do here as a part of this feature is we replace the disk of the source VM with the backed up recovery point with us, which is available in the recovery services vault. So this is like, because of the patching in Azure VMs, there are corruption being introduced in the VMs, and customer wanted to roll back to the state, which is right state before few days to, overcome this corruption scenarios. So this particular replace existing disk was, started being used extensively, and about 35% of our restores currently are replacing the disk in the existing VMs. And, we support this for the managed and encrypted VMs. As there were a huge ask for the custom images, we have also prioritized the work towards the end of this year. And we have many delighted customers for this feature.
And the replace instead of cloning, is that what you mentioned?
Right. Instead of you cloning the VM, so there's a source VM, and you start backing up the VM. And from the recovery point, you will be able to create a new VM, which we call it as a cloning. And what I mean by replace is that whenever the source VM gets corrupted because of introduction of the patches or anything while updating, the corruption gets introduced, and customers wanted to roll back to the right state it was previously, right? So what we have provided now is, how do you restore or replace to the existing source VM from the recovery point? So that is now being used extensively in Azure VMs backup.
I see. So you would just take that VM temporarily out of service, you would restore the
right.
VM, and then bring it back into service, and it would be good.
Right. Precisely.
Great. Yep. That's nice.
One other question I had that was popping into my mind while you were discussing this. This is super helpful, by the way. Thanks for explaining this in detail. Is the operating systems, right? So at the VM level, does it matter? And does this support Windows-based VMs as well as Linux-based? Because I know Linux is quite popular inside Azure.
Yes. So we have support for both Windows VM in Azure and you know, Linux VMs in Azure. So there are different granularities at which we restore all. But yes, we support both Linux and Windows. And we have customers backing up with us their Linux Azure VMs.
Awesome. And then the other question I had was around the VMs themselves, because there's quite a plethora of virtual machine types that we have inside Azure, right? All kinds of different series. And I think the main thing that was sticking out to me was maybe like the SSD versus hard drive, because there's different options there. Is there anything customers need to watch out for? Like if they're using some of these more advanced VMs, like for instance, SSD, is there any issues if they're using SSD or hard drive, anything they need to think about there?
You're talking about the standard disk.
That's right.
Right. So we have support for SSD as well. Yes. So while configuring, while creating the VMs, if customers created, and it's all that they'll have to do is just back it up with us. There's no specifics. We take care of all those analogies inside the Azure VMs, and we ensure to restore them. So for instance, I would like to speak about the unmanaged disk and the managed disk as well, right? So we support both unmanaged disk and managed disk as well. So we, while restoring, we restore it as a managed disk. And we also provide templates if it's going to be with a managed disk, because unmanaged disk comes with all the details in it. Whereas managed disk, because Azure has, you know, we maintain everything from the Azure end as a managed disk. Customer doesn't have to do anything about it. We provide templates for the customer while restoring as a managed disk. So yes, we do take care of all these intricacies from Azure Backup.
That's awesome. Thank you so much.
Yeah, and just to go ahead, Russell.
No, just on a similar kind of vein, I remember, you know, doing backups years and years ago, there were always problems with some processes and some workloads that had files open or various parts of the disk open for a long time, and you'd have to time the backup so that that service was shut down when it did it. Are those problems all kind of resolved now? Have we got, I know SQL, there's agents and stuff for that, but generally, is that a problem or anything that people need to work around?
Are you talking about a number of times scheduler should work? Are you talking about?
I'm kind of the issue of you know, being able to do a backup while things are still live and things are being changed, things are being held open. You've got file locks and all that kind of stuff. Is that problem gone away completely now?
Right. With respect to Azure VMs, yes. So we do backup once a day, and you know, there's we don't have much of Azure VMs. I would say that has stabilized, and there's not much problems as it was earlier, because Azure VMs now have attained a lot of maturity, and we have focused on the fundamentals. We have ensured that the backups have 100% SLAs met. You know, so yes, we have come out of all those issues.
Okay, great.
I think what, Russ, if I understand what you were asking is, when you take the backup, does it take like a snapshot of the VM and like an instant snapshot of everything? It's frozen in time and we take a backup of that, or, you know, are like, are the files being backed up individually? In which case, what happened if a file is open? Can it still be backed up? I think that's what Russell was asking.
Okay. The question, I got you. So regarding snapshots, yes, we take a snapshots, and you know, if the files are open, yes, you will still be able to, you know, back up your machine, because you know its scheduler kicks off and it is taken care of at that. And usually the backups are scheduled in that such a way in non-working hours. That's the recommendation which we give from backup solution, right? Like, you know, customers also understand this and they schedule. These are basically once a day backups with Azure VMs, and these are being scheduled in a non-working hours basically. So we very, very seldom we see these problems of, you know, the file being open and the backups are being failure.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
This is great stuff, Geeta. Thank you so much. Anything else you want to give us before we wrap up the show today?
Sure. So I wanted to, there have been many questions around forums, user wises regarding the recommendations for doing restores and getting a restore success rate for the customers, because, you know, restore is very critical operation for the customers. What I want to tell them is, you know, when they're triggering the multiple restos, you know, watch out for the storage accounts which is provided. It's recommended to use various storage accounts instead of throttling around one storage account, and which might even lead to the resto failures cases. And the second thing which I wanted to tell about is, you know, how do you restore the VM in the same availability sets, right? Like, so for a managed disk Azure VM, restoring to the availability sets is enabled by providing an option in the template and just say like, well, when you restore, just opt for that and it's all taken care from the restore end. And for the faster performance, please look for instant restores from the snapshot phase. And as I mentioned earlier, the restores happen in few minutes, which will ease in the process. And there is Azure Backup documentation, which calls for the fact section in Azure VM Backup restores. Please go through that and let us know your inputs more.
That's great. Thanks. Now, all these features are in preview form right now. Although not all, but some of them that you talked about. Are these things that customers have to kind of opt into, or what's the status there?
So the feature which I spoke, availability, it's available GA, and tags are available already with the customers. The only feature which I was talking about was large disk backup and restore, which is in preview. And otherwise, pretty much everything is available for the customers, including the replace disk options.
Okay, so for that preview item, they need to sign up for that preview, or is it a public preview where they just go to the portal and ask for it?
It is public preview for the large disk backups and restores, which we announced last week.
Awesome, great. So Geeta, I'd ask that you send us all this. It's some great information here. Send us as much as you can. We'll put it along with the show notes with this recording. And that way our listeners will have all of it as ready reference when they get to this podcast, all right? Great. Thank you so much for taking the time. I appreciate it. And thanks to all the co-hosts. I know it was an odd time this morning, but glad everybody could join us here. And Geeta, thanks for joining us. Your late evening as well.
I want to thank everyone in the call. It was a great conversation, and this brought in the holistic insights of Azure Backup, which customers had in mind. It was great to share with you all this wonderful morning about the new items which have come in Azure Backup. Thanks for the opportunity.
Thanks again.
Thank you for listening to the show. If you have any comments or questions, please use our Twitter handle at Azure Podcast. Background music has been taken from ccmixter.org under the Creative Commons license. Thank you, and see you next time.